Erica, welcome back. Last time, because we only had 20 minutes, I felt we were a bit rushed talking about this amazing 400-year-old tradition, Japanese comedy called sit-down comedy.
Yeah.
You call it an art form?
Yes, called rakugo, actually. Rakugo.
So try and explain to a English-speaking, because it might be American as well, but English or American person, what it is.
Yes.
In as as baby bird language as possible. Someone like me that I can really follow what you're saying. And if I stop you, it'll just be because I'm like, oh, that might sound a bit, like it needs a bit more explaining.
Yeah, of course, because I realize, you know, since I'm living overseas, none of them, maybe few people knows about rakugo. Almost none of them know about rakugo, even though they know about kabuki and no other traditional art form, but they don't know about rakugo. So it's very, I'm happy to explain about rakugo. Rakugo has, as you say, 400 years of history, same as Shakespeare. And the kabuki and no is quite famous here, but they are more like posh people, more like, you know, rich people's, you know, for entertainment, for rich people.
Because kabuki is closer to our form of theatre. It's it's a slightly more straightforward.
Yes.
Characters, and
yes,
there's a story, and the characters relate to each other. No is something else again. No is almost, I don't know, I've seen quite a bit, I would say it's almost closer to ballet in the sense that it's a very formalised way of moving, and somebody can be a hedge, or they could be talking to someone across a hedge.
It's very
and the way they physically move, and it's incredibly slow for someone who's not like me. Go to sleep during a session of no. So I don't even know, when did they come out? Are they 400 years old?
Yes, almost
older?
Same.
Oh, really?
Almost
they all come out at the same
rakugo
time?
Yes. But as I said, kabuki and no is more for like, you know, rich people. But nowadays, Japan, we don't have so much class. Most of the people in Japan is like a middle class or upper class. No much, you know, everybody's almost same.
The peasant class is gone.
but you know, the long time ago, 400 years ago, we had a, you know, strong classes. So very rich or very poor, you know, middle class, everything. And then the rakugo is more like for common people. And then start from the 17th century, the beginning, maybe the rakugo performer tried to like perform like a kabuki on the street. The people can afford to see kabuki, or like a comic storyteller. It's best described as comic storyteller.
But would they be doing it on the street, or would they be doing it on like a cart on the street, or would it be in a bar?
Actually, start very beginning, start from street, but that's very only the beginning. And then go to the like a small theater, but a rakugo performer always play by themselves, all by themselves, and for many several characters, all by himself. It's, you know, from baby to old person, sometimes men, women, even animals.
So would this be a bit like ventriloquism? Would they actually, part of the voice be part of the
yes,
act?
Yes, some people, you know, people change their voices, but most of the people don't change so much. And then they move, of course, lips. And then look at, like, you know, right, when you look at the right, you're, like, you know, talking. That's the one character. When you talk to the left, and then it's another character. But that, and then only they use two equipments, called fan, Japanese fan called sensu, and then Japanese hand towel called tenugui.
Only hand towel and a fan.
Yeah,
two.
Yeah. So you know, the fan can be sometimes cigarette, can be like
because it can fold in and out.
Yes, or you know, can be anything for become chopsticks and scissors, and hand towel can be like a wallet or like even potatoes or
hat.
Hat or anything, and then we, you know, of course, Japanese style. We, you know, wear kimono, traditional Japanese costume clothes, and kneel down,
So they would just stay with one kimono for the whole performance?
Yes, no costume changing, no background music.
So very simple.
Very simple. So that's why, you
makeup,
know, that...
Makeup, very simple.
Yeah, that's why, you know, the audience can, you know, free to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
up to them to how to imagine the characters and situation. So if they're good rakugo performer, you know, so you can imagine so clearly, even there's nothing, no like a set, nothing. That's amazing things. And there are so many, many stories. What I follow is my master. He's a pioneer for puppet rakugo. And they combine puppet, yes. The my master, Kakusho, he kind of invent his own original style, unique style. But rakugo usually don't use any like props or just, you know, fan.
So sorry, going back 400 years, did the performer of this,
uh-huh.
did they travel from town to town, or were they known in one town? Like, did they have the best one in Osaka and they stayed in Osaka, or did they travel around? Were they part of a traveling community, or how did they?
Now yes, they do a lot. But they used before used to be, you know, start from Tokyo, Edo, like a Tokyo, and then they start from Osaka. Tokyo is the called Edo long time ago. It's the, you know, original
name of the town.
Yes,
yeah.
Rakugo.
The city.
Yeah.
And so the performers would travel around, or they would start to stay in the same place and be known in that place?
Used to be, you know, the same place. There are like several, like a rakugo, like a theater in town, so people can go to see the...
So the performer would have to know an awful lot of material.
Yes, they have to memorize.
The
yeah.
Hours yes. and hours of material, yes. because if he kept doing the same stuff.
Oh yes, you
right.
have to memorize so many things. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's part of what your training is to become a master, is the amount of material that you know, the amount of stories that you know?
Nowadays, very, you know, the
changed yeah.
but, you know, used to be, it's, you know, like my master, he has to stay the master's place, house. He has to like wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, clean his house and cook, you know, food, everything. It really has to be like, you know, protege and then like a volunteer or like serve everything for
master.
Yes.
But and then you gradually become a master. You go through the different
level,
stages.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And usually protege period is 3 years.
Yeah.
But yes, and some people can be on stage earlier because they have talented, like just 1 year, or you know, it depends on the situation. And actually, rakugo is only for, used to be only for men.
Yeah.
Like all the performers,
like
men. Yeah, men. But lately, like in, you know, 10 years, 20 years, like several. Just several female rakugo performers in Japan.
And what sort of people do it? Does it stay within the family, or is there a certain group of people that send one child off to be a protege, or where do the proteges come from?
Yes, protege, usually like just, you know, amateur people that maybe like rakugo, and then they can choose. They choose which, you know, every rakugo performer has like an original style. They are, you know, choose your favorite. And then ask, you know, can I be your protege, please? Usually they say, no, get out, you know, no way.
Rubbish,
you know, no, you can't do this. Then, you know, you have to try again, attack, you know, the master. Then, finally, if he say yes, so they can be protege. And then after that, maybe depends on how good you are, master gives protege professional rakugo name, because only not many like rakugo names in Japan. It's complicated, isn't it? it's very you know, the name is very important. If you don't have the name, it's not like a really professional.
It's like your qualification.
Yeah.
So what's your rakugo name?
It's Shofukutei Shoko.
Shofukutei
Shoko.
Shoko.
Yeah.
And that means?
Shofukute is the family name, actually. It's with 400 years of history.
Okay.
Shofukute. Sho is love. Fuku is, wealth. And te is, I think, something, house or something. Yeah, family, something like that. And then sho.
Love, prosperous house.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
And Shokutsho is my master's name. My master's name is Kakusho. He gave me one of his, character, Sho. And the ko is the child. So Sho means love. Again, love and laughing child, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice name.
Yeah, I like
it. And if you're in Japan, you would put that on all your promotional material and people would know that is you and that you are a qualified Rokoku.
But I haven't, I just started for the Rakugo, so, when I go back, yes, I can do this, but I don't think no many people know about me yet. Yeah, I would love to do one day, when I go back to Japan. I did this year, how many times? 4 or 5 times with my master. Yeah.
And then where do you get, if you're a protege, what is your training then? How do you train up to become a performer?
For my case?
Yes.
Yeah, my case is quite different because I, came to, London. It's, I don't need to go. So nowadays...
You don't need to clean his floors.
No. But I can help his, some other stuff. Yes. And then I did a performance for 1 year, no pay or something, and then when he has a performance, but I can do, I can perform before him.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're like the opening act.
Yeah, opening act. Yeah, I've done opening act many times for him.
And what do you do for that? What do you do? Stories?
Yes, the short storytelling and some rakugo, a movement, more like a workshop. Or ventriloquism, but it's Japanese style. I use different puppet, Japanese puppet, and then comic storytelling, but with a puppet. Yeah, that's what I.
And where do you get your material from?
Oh, some of them are, of course, from traditional rakugo story. It's one of the story, very funny, but it's all the base about how to get the free drink. It's so funny. It's just to try to get the free sake, Japanese alcohol.
That sounds like that would translate very well into English. Yeah. That's very popular subject.
Just to get the free drink. They try to give the compliment. Usually there are many, a different type of character in the rakugo story. So very characteristic, very strong character. Usually very smart, or usually another character is very stingy, one of them very stupid, the story is a stupid woman, misunderstood some words. We play words a lot.
Right.
And then misunderstood the words, and then she says something wrong and make them angry instead of giving them compliment,
She insults.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite stupid.
And you play men and women?
Yes, men, women, yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's.
So those are the traditional
That's a traditional story.
And what about the individual ones that you develop? Where do you get those stories from?
That's all more like a... one of this is more for the very much opening act, and it's very Japanese basic joke. It's kind of using how can I say that? Again, a play with words. It's not really rakugo actually. Yeah, it's more like a ventriloquism.
Right.
Yeah, that's, my master helped me, and I develop, Then another one is I do for, I use the, based on the story about Emperor's New Clothes.
Right.
That story is very popular here, in Japan as well.
Hans Christian Andersen story.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, inspired by Japanese version, so, situations in Japan, and... It's instead of the king, I use
emperor.
An emperor and use a Japanese a bamboo blind and some fun and, you know, I change to the Japanese style and tell the story. And I put many jokes. So rakugo has to be, you know, funny. It's not like a serious art form. Some of the story is very, you know, serious, but
it's got to be funny.
Yeah.
It's a serious story told in a funny,
funny way. Yeah.
So you can use traditional European stories. You can take your stories from anywhere you like. The main focus is they must be funny.
Yeah, that's the thing. So
and
nowadays,
not offensive too.
You know,
which is a fascinating area.
Politely, yes.
The English version of offence and the Japanese version of offence.
Yeah, that's what I said before, yeah. That's true.
I've been thinking a lot about that. I find that very interesting. So
that's why, you know, the Japanese comic, sorry, the rakugo performance only one, but they play many characters by themselves. But the stand-up comedian, there are, you know, many stand-up comedians in Japan, but always two person. So instead of maybe insulting the audience, they insult each other. Never be so rude to audience.
So they can be rude on stage as long as it's something on stage.
Yeah, it has to be rude, otherwise not funny. That's why maybe two persons, always two persons or three persons.
Because you can't be rude to So why did you choose the master that you have now? What was it about him that made you think, oh, he's the one I want to work with?
Yes, actually, to be honest, I hope no one listening, that group of mine listening. I never, you know, the rakugo is fun. I used to watch. It's very, you know, from TV or theater. But I like it, but I'm not really, you know, big fan of rakugo. But when I saw his performance first time in Singapore, I used to work in Singapore. And oh my god, I was so like shocked. It's new style rakugo with the puppets. So much energy, so much fun, and everybody can enjoy it, like from children to adult. And it was like, wow, there are such a, you know, performance in, you know, in Japan. So I really wanted to do. So he can, you know, travel all over the world with that same performance though. And he changed, of course, for the, you know, the free talk part. But
he never does anything in English. It's all in Japanese.
No, he does English. He memorizes all.
Oh, right.
Yes, all English.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does in here as well.
And he travels all over the world in English. So do you have English characters in any of your performers, in any of your stories?
English character? Not yet, actually. I should. Now I'm learning a story, called Zoo. It's like it's also traditional Japanese story, the rakugo story, but it's not really traditional, actually quite new, because there is a zoo in the story. I don't think 400 years ago there is a zoo, but some maybe quite old, but not very old story. It's very funny, and some rakugo performer do in English, so I'm learning in English. I can maybe, you know, use English. Oh, that'd be fun. It's one, you know, lazy person who tries to get the job, but he doesn't want to wake up early morning, he doesn't want to talk to people, he doesn't want to do this, so many, you know, requests. But he wants to get the pay, like, at least £100 or something.
I guess you could have a nice East person from East London. That's the biggest council house.
and then finally, the what he got job was like working for zoo, but not like you know, the cleaning or anything, taking care of animal. Actually, he has to be animal. He has to wear the animal fur, and then he has to be like a tiger. And it's a Dara story, and then always punchline in the end.
Right.
Yeah. So that kind of story. Maybe I can use the English person.
Yeah, no, because I think it's something that fascinates every nationality, is to see how they are perceived by another nationality. And I think the English would be fascinated to see how the Japanese see English people.
I hope it's not offended, because that's all.
I don't think English people would be offended at all. They'd love it.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. Because it's I don't know how you feel, because you're Japanese, how many people tell you what the perception is of Japanese people by English people. Because English people perceive Japanese as incredibly complicated, and, you know, so you mustn't offend them, and it's very difficult to get them to say no. It's almost impossible.
That's true.
And they have everything incredibly organized and they're very efficient. And, and it's something that I find when I'm traveling very interesting to see how another nation sees British people.
Yep, yep.
And what would you say are some of the characteristics that a Japanese comic, for instance, would take from their perception of English people?
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean,
can you think of anything that's?
Yeah, I can actually.
How do Japanese come to
say? Okay. I think
we'd love it.
Yeah, maybe they don't say sorry, but they maybe more just to try to excuse first. They try to protect their themselves. So they, we always say sorry too much.
Really?
Yeah, we always say sorry for everything.
The Americans say, the English people say sorry for everything.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh. But you think we don't at all?
We really?
It's funny, yeah.
For us, maybe, compared to America, I'm sure there's something like for the business or something, not everybody. People, and I'm sure the people here is very polite, but in a way, they don't really say sorry because of the, maybe I thought, they want to keep their, I don't know, position or keep their right, or, I'm right,
That's probably true, because we are British.
I'm very right, so, I don't need to say sorry, because this happened. Blah, 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 blah. Explain very well. And then also I found some people very theatrical, talk very theatrically. I like it though. It's very, but some Japanese say very, too exaggerated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's quite, funny for them. Because maybe, I don't know, because we learned American English at school. So that's why. And then what else?
So when you see an English person coming along the street in Osaka or something, you go, oh my God, they're going to be terribly loud and very dramatic and they'll completely be insulting all the time and then justify it and won't actually say, no, I'm just being insulting.
It's so bad, oh my God.
No, I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's very true.
And they're also swearing a lot.
Yeah. That's also become much more common probably in the last 20 years. I think it was very frowned upon.
Yeah, it's very...
Maybe the 60s or 70s, and we started swearing a lot.
Yeah.
But it used to be completely... I think two of the worst swear words we used on television only in the last 10 years or something. For the first
time. Even I can hear from television. Mm-hmm.
But now, it's everywhere, but it used to be very bad. Now so liberalised all over the place. So what are your plans with your work with your master? Are you continuing to add material and are you continuing to perform with him? Or?
Yes, I'm trying to practice more materials. Now I do more like a ventriloquism because actually for kids or it's very more like a catchy, people remember me and also easier to make the kids laugh with the puppets, more attention. But I more like now want to learn traditional Japanese. Since I'm in overseas, I realize Japanese art form is very beautiful and something special. I'm Japanese, why not? Why I'm doing it,
It's so often the way though, isn't it? It's only when you leave your own country do you realize how much there is on offer.
Yeah, because I just did a workshop at the high school, Northampton. And then I did some rakugo, comic storytelling, and then the ventriloquism. And then after that, I did somehow a ventriloquism workshop with the socks. You can make, kind of temporary ventriloquism puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I teach them. But after me, English guy was teaching Aikido, the judo, Aikido, some like a...
Martial art.
Because I realized, it's so strange. The English people are teaching Japanese, traditional martial arts, and I'm Japanese teaching like ventriloquism. So I thought, I should maybe...
You're going to become a born-again Japanese person.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, maybe more concentrated on doing a little bit more traditional way.
And are you mainly at the moment in Britain performing to a Japanese audience, or are you managing to get some
more
British
more British audience, because even though many Japanese here, more British kids.
Yeah.
At a school or after schools, some, you know, events.
And are you doing workshops to teach them how to do it as well, or are you just performing?
Performing and then sometimes workshop.
Right.
But I teach them also a bamboo blind. It looks like a bamboo blind, but I can make many different types of shape by bamboo blind. It's also, you know, it's strange.
And
it's also with the 400 years of history.
Right.
That's from a street performance.
Right.
It's very interesting. That's what I teach as well.
Why do you think the Japanese have these very, very specialist areas like the bamboo blind or the work with fans, or these very, very strong areas where like macrame or, you know, it's so specialist. Why do you think that's a Japanese thing? Because we just bunch the whole thing together and just do it in pubs. It's mess.
That's good, that's fun. I don't know, because our character, Japanese character is very, you know, they're good at craftsmanship. You know, we like to really go deep and then small area.
Perfecting and perfecting and perfecting.
I don't know, because maybe with one, I don't know, it's a character, I think. Maybe also history. We I don't know why. We don't have culture to go to pub or drinking and go to
it's
bar.
That's not what I've heard. I've heard really? Japanese men like a drink.
Oh yeah, drinking. Yeah, men like drinking. But women also drink. But we more like eat and drink. Not just to drink and go to comedy club or pub or anything.
Right.
We just love, you know, go to like a tapas bar, Japanese tapas bar, and eat and drink and maybe, you know, like singing. And drinking.
Karaoke. Very popular. Don't have to be quite so perfectionist on that. So do you hope to go back to Japan, or are you going to base yourself in Britain?
I prefer to base on Britain. And then...
And go back and visit and do some shows.
Yeah, I think
carry
so.
Carry on working here.
I prefer living here. And then, yes, one day maybe Japan. But... my husband is Australian, so eventually we are living maybe Australia.
Right, so that's great. So people who want to see you, they've got to look out for you. Doing your workshops under your Japanese name or under your...
Shoko.
Shoko, that will be your name that you'll be performing under.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Very good.
So, my finger crossed,
Well, that's fantastic, Anna. Thank you very much. That's wonderful.
Thank you.